before you to be able to bring to you the Word of God the best that we know how this evening to be able to show you what God's Word says, and that's all I ever want to do.
Amen.
I've told them before, I just want to just show people what God's Word says. If you walk away disagreeing with the way I see it, that ain't going to affect you one bit, ain't going to affect me one bit. But we got to take God's word for what it says.
Amen.
And that's all that matters tonight, is we just live up to the standard that God has set before you and I this evening. God will never lower his standard down to us. We have to raise our way of living and our standard up to his way. And I thank God for that this evening. Y'all pray for me tonight that I don't mess this thing up and I'll never get through. I've preached this message for the past 20 years, I guess, and I've never got through it all yet, and I probably never will, but it's still on my heart tonight. And you all pray real sweet to be able to show you what God's Word says, be able to paint you a picture of the Word of God, that you can leave this place tonight different than what you were when you came here.
Amen.
And that's my goal, Jason, everywhere I go, that God would change the hearts of individuals, that they'll never, ever be the same again.
Yeah.
And when you have a head-on collision with Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same again tonight.
Yes.
Thank God for that. If you love the Lord, say amen tonight.
Amen.
Amen. In the first chapter of the book of Numbers, the first chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers, the fourth book in your King James Bible, got 36 chapters in it. Moses wrote 1,288 verses in this book right here. And Numbers is just a continuation of what he done in Exodus and what he done in Leviticus and what you'll see going on in Deuteronomy of how God was beginning to unfold another piece of the picture for the nation of Israel as they was beginning to make their way through the wilderness. And you'll find there in chapter 1 where God told Moses to number the nation of Israel, all those that are 20 years old and above, to number them that are able to go to war. And you'll find that all in the first 46 verses of chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 47 tonight and read down, listen, probably the end of the chapter and bring to you what God has given to us this evening. Then we'll jump over into the book of 1 Samuel and then to the book of 2 Samuel and do our very best to be able to put it all together for you to paint you a picture of what is going on in the world today. Why are people not living the way God has instructed for us to live? And the Bible gives us an insight of what is going on if we'll just read a little bit and study His Word tonight. In the book of Numbers, chapter 1, beginning at verse 47, and the Bible reads like this, "But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them." All the other 11 tribes of Israel, you'll find how many was in each tribe, 20 years old and up, in the first 46 verses. 603,550 of those that were numbered in the nation of Israel that were able to go to war, 20 years old and up, except for the tribe of Levi. God had another plan for them. In verse 48, "For the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, saying, Only thou shalt not number the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel." Here's why. "But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony and over all the vessels thereof and over all things that belong to it, that they shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it and shall encamp round about the tabernacle." Think about that tonight. "And when the tabernacle setteth forth, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall put it up. And the stranger that cometh," now listen to this now.
Yeah.
You don't think God means business tonight? "And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to," if you just come near the tabernacle of God and you ain't got no business been there, God didn't just smack your hands
and send you
on your way. You drop dead right then.
Serious
and folks, we need to realize God means business tonight.
Yeah.
"And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp." And Lord willing, we'll go over that just a little bit tonight. "And every man of his own standard Listen, they had their own standard, their own flag, their own colors. Listen, their own symbol that represented their tribes. And we'll show you that tonight, bend the Lord's will. Try not to get very lengthy this evening. This can go on for a long time if we allow it to. Throughout their host. But the Levites shall pitch around about the tabernacle of the testimony, and they be no wrath, that there be no wrath among the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony, and the children of Israel, listen, did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they. I begin to think tonight as I was listening to some preaching there just the other day, and this thought come to my mind. I try to get rid of it, try to go another direction, a whole other way, because I know, listen, when you get into this topic right here, listen, you can go on and on and on. There's no ending to it. Listen, I try to study something else, but it wouldn't happen. My mind kept coming back to this thought right here, and that thought is simply this, the dangers of familiar things tonight. The danger of familiar things. We like familiar things. We like things to be familiar to us. We don't like nothing that's strange. We don't like nothing that's difficult. We don't like confrontation. Listen, we don't like strife and stress in our life. We like things to be familiar. We like things. We like to know how things are going to go. We like to know how things are going to turn out. Listen, but in doing that sometimes, there is a danger of familiar things. Because some things, Kevin, can get so familiar to us that we begin to lose the importance of what they stand for.
That's right.
That's
good. Right, brother. Take it for granted.
Go with me now to the 6th chapter of 1 Samuel. Listen, as we try to put all this together for you tonight. You remember in the 4th chapter of 1 Samuel, here come the Philistines again. They come to war against Israel. Listen, doing pretty good at that time. Until two men, got word that they needed something down there on the battlefield. And those two men were the sons of the priest by the name of Levi or Eli. And his two sons were Hophni and Phinehas. Listen, they sent word back to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was set up at that time. They said, boys, we need the Ark of God brought down into battle, brought down to here, because we're getting our tails whooped. We need God to show up down here. So by and by they come, and they begin to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, down into battle. Listen, when it got there, they begin to shout and begin to have a good time, because that box has now showed up on the property of where they were at. The Philistines heard that, and they got scared, because they knew somebody somewhere had told them what happens when God shows up. They heard about the plagues that God pronounced upon Egypt when he brought the children of Israel out of bondage. Listen, but the leader said, wait a minute, you all stand still, be men in this thing. And what happened? Because, listen, they did not realize and recognize and reverence the presence of God the way they were supposed to. Listen, they got destroyed. Listen, many lost their life. Hophni and Phinehas lost their life, and that ark was captured because they took it as a good luck charm. Listen, they saw it. Listen, just as their four-leaf clover. Listen, just for them. Listen, here it is. Listen, we've got God where we want him now, and he's going to fight for us. Listen, friend, you can become so familiar familiar with things of God that you lose your perspective of what it means in your life tonight. Eli got wind of it. A man come back to him and told him what happened. Eli was sitting there in his rocking chair, if you will. He fell off the porch, broke his neck. And he died. Because they told him that his sons were dead. But even more so, the ark of God was now captured. The Philistines now have it. Come to chapter 5. You'll find where the ark of the covenant made his way into the camp of the Philistines. From Ashdod to Gath to Ekron. As it made its journey, it spent 7 months in the camp of the Philistines. Not supposed to have been there. Not supposed to have been that way. I just read to you in the book of Numbers, that only the Levites, only the priesthood was supposed to take control of that Ark of the Covenant. Hang on with me now. Let me lay this foundation for you. That we can get to where we want to get to, Lord's will, in the 6th chapter of 2 Samuel. But you see, as it made its way through the camp of the Philistines, when it showed up, bad things happened. Because you can't put God in a confined space. No. He's going to bust out every single time. You can't tie God down, boys. He's going to come loose every time. And if you're not where God wants you to be, He's going to whoop the fire out of you tonight. There you've got.
You're right, son.
The camp of Israel. I ain't got time to get all of this tonight. But those 12 tribes, excluding the tribe of Levi. You won't find the tribe of Joseph in there either. But you remember Joseph had 2 sons by the name of Ephraim and Manasseh. And Balaam saw this, Kevin, when he went up on top of the hill. When Barak tried to get him to look down and to curse the children of God. But God would not allow Balaam to do that. No. And what did Balaam see when he looked down at the camp of Israel? You see, as you can read there in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, you'll find that Israel had to position themselves in such a way around that tabernacle. Glory to God tonight. I hope you get a hold of this. Danger of familiar things this evening. But you see, as Balaam looked down on that camp and he saw how Israel was laid out in their tents, how everything was constructed just the way God wants it to be. Everything in God's plan is done decent and in order tonight. He's not a God of program, but he is a God of order this evening. If you're going to go God's way and do it God's way tonight, it will be done in order.
Every time, buddy. Every time.
Because if not, God won't show up. But you see, as Balaam looked down, what did he see?
The old cross.
He saw the camp of Israel set up in such a fashion, because you see, you can see Jesus from Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation 22. It's every bit about him. And when Balaam looked down and he saw the way Israel was constructed, it was constructed in such a way, this part right here, being the tabernacle, and right there in the center is the Ark of the Covenant. It better be the center part of your life tonight. And what's an Ark of the Covenant represent? It represents the very presence of Almighty God.
Yeah.
Oh, listen. It was, listen, east and west this away, west up here and east down here. And this side been the north, and this side been the south. Oh, listen. And when you see how they were laid out on the north side, you had the tribes of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. On the south side, Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. Up there on the west side, why is this part here a lot shorter than those other three? Because of the number.
Yeah.
In those three tribes, you'll find the number of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin. The number here is a lot less than all these other three.
Right.
It's all about Jesus tonight.
Yes.
And get this, this part down here on the east side, glory to God, is where the tribe of Issachar and Zebulun, and also on the east side is where you've got the tribe of Judah.
Sure enough,
thank God tonight, of which tribe, 7 and 14 of Hebrews, Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Listen, Jesus did not spring out of the tribe of Levi.
No.
Listen, which was the priesthood, but he came out of the tribe of Judah.
Amen, son.
Oh, thank God tonight.
That's good, Darrell.
Oh, listen, on the west side, their colors or their, listen, their symbol was a symbol of the eagle.
Yes.
On the west side, their symbol was a symbol of the ox. Listen, on the well, on the south side was the face of a man. Oh, but here it is again. Guess what it was on the east side, glory to God, is the face, the symbol of the lion.
Yeah.
Who did John say in the 5th chapter of Revelation that Jesus was? He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Thank God tonight. The eagle, the ox, the man, the lion, what are those? Those are all the kings of the animal kingdom.
Amen, buddy.
Oh, listen, the eagle is the king of the birds.
Yes.
The ox is the king of the domesticated animal.
Yes.
Man has dominion over it all on planet Earth. And the lion
king of the jungle.
Is the king of the jungle.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, where was the gate at in the tabernacle?
Yeah.
The only way you can get in that tabernacle is you've got to go through the gate.
Really?
And that's on the west side. How wide was that gate?
Yeah.
It was 30 feet wide. How old was Jesus when he began to perform his earthly ministry? He was 30 years old. Don't try to tell me it's coincidence.
Amen,
tonight.
Son.
Oh,
that's solid, buddy.
It's all about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you can't deny that book. No way.
And when we get here into 1 Samuel chapter 5, you'll find with the Ark of the Covenant that was captured has gone through the camp of the Philistines.
Sure did.
And it come down to the point that everywhere it showed up,
it
caused problems. A lot of them died.
Yes.
A lot of them had some physical ailments of the body.
Nice.
Can I just be honest with you? Listen, God struck them with hemorrhoids.
He sure did, buddy.
Listen, a lot of them died that way.
He
shipped it on. We don't want it in here. Get it out of here. They sent it to another city along this camp of the Philistines. Same thing happened there. It came into Ashdod, and they set it right at the foot of their god by the name of Dagon. They come in the next day, and listen, and their god Dagon had fell right down at the base of the Ark of the Covenant. So what did they do, boys? Listen, Jason, it must have been a puff of wind come in and blew the statue down.
Yeah.
Well, boy, if a puff of wind could blow your god down, I believe I'd be finding me another one tonight.
Yeah.
Listen, they set it right back up. Well, we'll fix this.
Okay,
listen, come in the next day, not only was it turned down, but it was busted up.
So it was, buddy.
All was left was a stump.
Yeah.
The head was cut, the breast broke off. The hands and stuff were broke off.
Yeah.
You can't fight against God and win, people.
No way, buddy.
And it come down to the point. They said, get it out of here.
Yeah.
Send it back to where it came from.
Yeah.
Chapter 6.
Yes.
Opens up. Said, been there in the camp of Philistines for 7 months.
Yeah.
They got the plan together and said, let's send it back.
Yeah.
But here's what we're going to do. We're going to see if God really is who he says he is.
Uh-huh.
So they got to. I got in trouble on preaching this one time. They said, buddy, you're preaching on milk cows. Well, I didn't write the book.
That's what it says.
The Bible said they got two milk
kinds.
Yeah. M-I-L-C-H means milk producing.
Yep.
K-I-N-E, the kind. It just means a heifer, a cow. Well, it don't take a rocket scientist to say if it's milk producing and it's a cow, it's a milk cow.
Yeah.
Tonight. They got two of them. They took the kinds away from those two cows. Took them away, tied those cows to the cart, put the Ark of the Covenant on top of
it. Send it on down the way.
Set them free.
Yeah. Send it on down there,
buddy. Well, if God is who he is, who he says he is,
it'll get down there.
It'll get where it's supposed to go. But if they go wandering and meandering around,
yeah,
then it must not really been God.
Yeah.
Hey, just whatever. And they took the calves away from those cows. If you've ever been around, cows and stuff out there in the fields, when a calf is born, that mama, is very protective
sure
of that
is.
Calf. Take it away from her, she'll bawl her head off. Seeking for it.
Yeah.
I want it to come till she
sure
finds
does.
It. I didn't come to give you a farming lesson tonight. But hear me this evening. That cow, those two cows, they went directly where they
sure
were supposed
did.
To go. Not turning to the right,
sure
not
did.
Turning to the
That's
left,
right
but bowing and lowing as they traveled on their way. They knew the burden they were packing. The Philistines had no idea what they had a hold of.
No, they sure did.
They just knew it was causing them problems, and they wanted rid of
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The danger of familiar things.
Yeah.
It made its way to a camp called Beth Shemesh, right down to Kirjath Jearim. And there it wound up on a hill, Kevin,
yep.
In the house of a man by the name of Abinadab.
Uh-huh.
Now let's go over to 2 Samuel chapter 6. The danger of familiar things. David is now the king. Because after this, in 6th chapter of 1 Samuel, Samuel got to him and said, boys, y'all better start straightening this thing up and start doing it right. And what was their reaction to that? The 8th chapter said, Samuel, here's what we want you to do. I want you to give us a king so we can be like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because they realized they didn't want to follow after God.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to do it God's way. They wanted to be like all those other camps around them.
Yeah.
And God said, Samuel, in the 7th chapter, 7th verse of verse chapter 8, I believe it is, he said, Samuel, you hearken to the people.
Yeah, do what they want.
You give them what they want.
They like what
he
they
said,
get.
Because Samuel, they've not rejected you, pal.
Rejected
he
me.
Said, but they have rejected me.
That's right, buddy.
He said, but Samuel, won't you tell them? You tell them exactly what the king's going to do to them.
Slave
Not for them, but do to them.
Yeah.
Listen, and you can read that in the 8th chapter
yeah.
of 1 Samuel. By and by, then anointed Saul, the first king of Israel. 40 years later, Saul did not do things right. The ark was taken, and Saul never made the first move to get the ark back
sure
where it was
did,
supposed
buddy.
To be.
But cared less.
Oh,
the danger of familiar things. Hang on. Chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. You'll find. And the Bible reads like this. And David, he's now the king, the second king of Israel. Listen, Saul's gone now. And listen, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. He wanted everybody to come together because he was about to do something. But listen very carefully as I read to you and see if you can pick up the problem that David encountered as I read these first 6 verses or 7 verses to you.
Really?
See if you can pick out David's number one problem here. David arose and went with all the people, listen, that were with him and to Baal-El of Judah to bring up thence the ark of God whose name is called before the name of the Lord of the hosts and dwelleth between the cherubims. Thank God for that. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah and Uzzah and Ahio. The sons of Abinadab drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manners of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and cymbals. And they came to Nacon's threshing floor, a whole lot in that, because to have a threshing floor, you was up on a little hill.
Yeah.
It was a very hard piece of ground, sometimes a rock. Listen, that the wind would constantly be blowing. That they would take their barley and their wheat up there to thresh it out. They toss it up in the air. The chaff would be blown away and the good stuff would fall to the ground. There's a whole lot in there. Listen, but they came to the threshing floor and Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of the God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died before the ark of God. Did you hear the problem in that? Did you hear David's first problem? What was it, preacher? It wasn't the cart. Listen, it wasn't that Uzzah touched it. The number one problem David had right here, why he failed on the first attempt to get God back home, is David never consulted God first on the matter.
He sure never. No.
Did you hear that in there?
No, had a big
where David prayed and said, God, is this what you want? Did you hear that in there in those first 7 verses? David took it upon himself because it was so familiar to him. Listen, that he thought, God, you need to be brought back home, and I believe I'll take it on myself to go ahead and God get you and bring you home.
Yes.
Listen, the danger.
Yes, sir.
Are familiar things.
Yeah. Tell it, son.
What will that do? The danger of familiar things, number one, it'll cause you to be lax or lack in your rejoicing.
Everybody.
Oh, listen, hear me tonight. When David got there, listen, and they finally found that box in the house of Abinadab. Oh, listen, and David went in and got that. You hear me tonight. Why did God kill Uzzah? Listen, because of this right here. You say, preacher, if I was Uzzah at that time and I saw the ark of God shake and almost toss over, I would have done the exact same thing. I would try to stable that thing, listen, to keep it from hitting the ground, because it is a holy thing. I read to you there, though, listen, in the first chapter of the book of Numbers, that only the Levites, the priests, were to take control of that.
Yeah.
David never consulted God.
Right.
Listen, then what did David do? Listen, he adopted, glory to God, he adopted the Philistine method of moving the ark of God. The problem is today, Jason, is we've got this people today, this world today, congregations today, that have adopted the world's method of worshiping God.
Wow.
And God said, you best not be doing it that way. Why is congregations, listen, lost their joy? Listen, why are congregations lax in rejoicing who God is?
Yeah.
Why is this world not seeing the people of God praise God just for who he is?
Yeah.
Because they got the right motive, but they got the wrong method in doing it.
Yeah.
You realize you can do the right thing
the wrong way.
In the wrong way.
Yeah.
And be 100% wrong in what you've done.
That's right. You're right, buddy.
You can say the right thing.
That's right.
At the wrong time.
You're wrong.
And destroy what you was trying to do.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, sure have.
Listen, I'm guilty.
God help us, buddy.
Sometimes.
We do it.
You may not believe it or not, but sometimes I let this mouth, listen, begin to run when it needs to shut up. Oh, listen. And David, no doubt, never consulted God.
No.
Uzzah, why did God kill him? Not because, the Bible says, for his error. That word error right there does not mean a mistake. Why, preacher? Because if God killed people for making a mistake, I wouldn't be here tonight.
No,
you wouldn't be sitting there tonight.
No.
Listen, why, preacher? We've all made mistakes.
That's right,
folks.
Buddy. Yes, sir. Amen. God help us.
Thank God he don't kill people.
That's right.
For making mistakes. But the danger of familiar things. Let me take you back now on a little journey just for the next few moments of time. Listen, back about 20 years before chapter 6
Tell
of
2
Samuel come about. Listen, I'll go through this as quickly as I can. Listen, the harder you pray, the faster I preach,
yes.
All right? Listen, go back to a man by the name of Abinadab.
Yeah.
At this time, he had some two young boys, two little rugrats running around. Listen, by the name of Ahiona. That ark came out from the Philistines. Listen, no doubt Abinadab was part of the Levi tribe. Listen, because God allowed it to go to his house and listen and stay there for 20 years.
20 years
listen, and Kirjath Jearim in the house of Abinadab, which is only about 9 miles outside of Jerusalem where it was supposed to be. Think about that. Listen, God was real close to being home. Only 9 miles away, but for 20 years, David would go to the worship service and God not be there. Listen, how many times have you gone to church to try to worship God and he nowhere around? Awful dead and dry places.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been there. It's awful hard.
Yeah.
Listen, but as it began to come into the house of Abinadab, the danger of familiar things. Listen, I could just imagine. Listen, when it first came there, Tanya. Listen, when the ark showed up in the house of Abinadab, his two boys and him and his family, no doubt, were tickled, slapped to death. Boys, God is here now.
Yes.
The presence of God is here. A holy thing has now come into my house, has now come onto our property. Praise God. Listen, he's here. Listen, but what happened? As time goes on, that holy thing just become a special thing. Listen, it lost a little bit of its significance in their life. Listen, why? Because they were becoming familiar with it sitting there. They were comfortable with it in their house. Listen, it began to lose a little of its luster, if you will. And then as time goes on a little farther, that holy thing that was special has now just become
just a piece of
familiar
piece of
furniture in the house.
Piece of furniture in there.
Just like a table.
Yeah.
Just like a couch. Just like a bed.
Got used to it, buddy.
Listen, they got so comfortable with it being there
that
they didn't think nothing else about it.
Yeah.
They didn't think nothing else about it. You all,
God didn't forget it, did you?
You all have about, well, at least one of these in your house.
Yeah.
Probably some of you got more than one.
Yes.
Some of you may have them in about every room of your house.
All
I don't know.
Phones and everything, Darryl.
Listen, how important is this in your house? You realize this right here is as close to us physically handling Jesus Christ that we'll ever have in this life. Folks, this is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is Jesus Christ.
Word.
This is the very Son of Almighty God.
Yes.
Listen, the Bible says in 1 of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank God. This is as close on planet Earth that you and I will ever get to physically, tangibly, touching and holding the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good word, Darryl.
But has it lost its
it
holiness in your life?
Yeah.
Has it lost its specialty in your life?
Realness.
Because it's become so familiar to you tonight. Are you rejoicing when you hear God's word preached?
Yeah.
You sung a song just a minute ago. I looked around.
Yeah, buddy.
I watched you.
Yeah.
I talked with him in a couple days.
Yeah.
When I preach, I've got 100 questions to ask him to help me get my thoughts together. He's a lot smarter than I am.
Right.
He's got able to put a lot of things together. He's got a better control of the English language than I do. He may say no, but you've heard him. Listen, he does a lot better tying stuff together than I do. That's his personality. That's his ability God gave him. Thank God for that. But I've not talked with him about this one. He's been busy. I've been not feeling well and so forth. But listen to me tonight. Listen, I watched him. He got the song book. He said, let's sing Amazing Grace. I looked around. There was very few of you all that opened up the song book to page 57.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Tell it, Darryl.
Did he have to? I believe he probably could have led that song and not looked at the very words on the page.
I like to look at them words, buddy.
You sung that song. I heard you.
Yeah.
I watched you. You didn't know I was, but I watched you.
Yeah. Tell it, Darryl.
Listen, that song, every time that song is sung, Jason, boys, we should be running laps around the church.
We sure should.
Every time that song is sung, we should be trying to climb the walls and hang from the ceiling. Listen, why? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost on my way to hell, deserving to be there. Listen, was lost, but thank God I'm found. I was blind, but thank God today, through the power and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God, I can see.
Yeah.
But what the problem is that song has become so familiar to you and I that we can sing all four verses, make up some of our own, and sit there like nothing is going on.
You're so right.
Amen, brother.
You're so
Why are congregations in the
buddy.
Shape they're in? Because they've gotten so familiar with the things of God.
Yeah.
We come in here, we sing 2 or 3, 4 songs at the beginning. Listen, Kevin gets up, somebody gets up, they'll open up, they'll preach a little bit, then we'll pray, somebody will come up and sing a few songs, the other preacher will come up, he'll preach a little bit, then we'll have an altar call, and then we'll go back to the house. We have done that routine so many times.
Get used to it, don't we?
It becomes so familiar to us that sometimes it loses its power.
It sure does. You're
right. Because we know what's going to happen.
That's true. Good.
We don't have to worry about what God's going to do because we've already got it planned out.
That's
God,
right.
I believe, God, we can control this part.
That's right.
God, I think we've got everything all right here. Lord, you just wait just a few minutes.
That's right.
And then you can come up and do your thing.
Yeah.
But let me go ahead and get my stuff out of the way first.
Yeah, that's right. You're right, buddy.
Because we have come so familiar with the things of God.
Yes.
We've come so familiar with the holiness of God.
So true,
that we no longer... We lack in rejoicing.
Uh-huh.
Not only do we lack in rejoicing, but we have lost the respect of the holy things of God.
Yes.
I know that's hard.
Yeah, we have.
I know that's hard.
That's right, though.
But folks, we have lost the respect of the holy things of God. Amen. Listen, how precious is God's word to you in your life?
Yes, sir.
Have you read it today?
Yes, sir.
Hell, did you read it yesterday?
Yes.
Does God still speak to you? Listen, do you still know the convicting voice of God when you do wrong?
Yeah.
Do you still know the command of God when he beckons you to do something?
They get familiar too.
Or has it become so long, and you have done it your way for so long that you no longer hear that still small voice that God, when he begins to try to
tune it out,
just to get your attention, say, hey, hey,
yeah,
won't you just come spend some time with me?
Yeah.
I know you got a busy life.
Yeah.
I know everything. I know the day's going to be busy for you, but would you get that word and just come spend just a few minutes with me?
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to you.
Your buddy.
I watched over you through the night.
Yeah, took care
of you. Primitive Quartet gives a recitation years ago called The Letter from Jesus.
That's a good one.
A Letter from Jesus. And it said, go something like this. And Jesus said, you know, I watched over you through the night. I sprinkled a little bit of the moonlight onto your pillow while you lay there asleep. I watched over you. Listen, I wanted to talk to you. I wanted so bad to come down and meet with you, but you were busy.
That's a good song.
You went on the bed without saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning you woke up, and you woke up late.
Mm-hmm.
So you got in a hurry, got your coffee, and ran out the door. I wanted so much to come and talk to you.
Yeah.
Come and just spend a little bit of time with you, but you was in a hurry.
Yeah.
And you went on your way. I want you to know I love you.
Well, I tell you where we're at.
I want you to know I love you.
Yeah.
And I just want so much to talk to you. Look at it on YouTube.
It's
listen
good.
To that.
It's a good
a
one.
Letter from Jesus by the Primitive Quartet.
It's a good song.
Friend, have we gotten so familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Have we gotten so familiar that we have lost the respect of the holy things of God?
Probably we have.
Yep.
Has your life become so comfortable with the cares of this world? And I'm not telling you, listen, that's not hard to do. It's real easy. The devil will do his best to get you so comfortable and so caught up with the chaos in this world, listen, that before you know it, not only has hours gone by and days gone by, but weeks have gone by, and you've never truly spent time with God.
So true, buddy.
And you'll come to church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus.
Yeah.
And you'll come to church and raise hands and say amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're so comfortable with the church lingo.
Yeah,
we know when to say it.
We know when not to say it. Yeah, we know it.
We know what words are appropriate and all the motions and so forth because we've gotten so comfortable. We've gotten so familiar with that.
So true, buddy.
But being familiar with the things of God will rob us from the sincerity and the power of what those things mean.
That's what's at.
Listen, Uzzah lost his life because he was so familiar with God being in the house that he didn't think nothing else about it.
Sure did.
For 20 years he saw the ark of God there.
Sure did, son.
Listen, and he didn't think nothing else about it.
Sure did.
And when it come, why did God kill him? Listen, not because he made a mistake. God killed him because of his negligence.
He knew better, buddy.
Because of his negligence.
Yes.
He failed to realize. He refused to realize who God was in his house.
He sure did.
And then God killed him because not only for his negligence, but because of his deception.
Uh-huh.
He never thought nothing else about that ark.
Not a thing.
Until he heard the king was coming.
Uh-huh.
Until he heard David was coming. Then he got out and he shined up his brass phylacteries and put on his brand new clothes and shined them brass buttons so everybody would look at him.
Oh, yeah.
And when he went out there, he thought he was doing God a favor. But I tell you this, I could go on and on and on with this right here.
Right there, but listen, deep waters.
Listen, if they, Kevin, if they would have done it right, David knew what was going on. Listen, he adopted the Philistine method. That's what's wrong with this world today. That's what's wrong with congregations today. And I hope that God, every one of you are listening to me. Listen, that's what's happening today. People have adopted this contemporary method, this contemporary motive to try to worship God. Yes, that will fill the houses up. It sure will. Listen, put that rock music up there. Call it Christian music just because it mentions Jesus in it. Listen, put on their dog and pony show and listen and call that worship, and God ain't within 10,000 miles of that place. Listen, your motive may be right. You may want to worship God, but your method is completely out of the pits of hell. Listen, that's what's wrong with the church world today. Listen to congregations today, because they're trying to worship God. Listen, in the methods of this world.
Amen. Don't work, buddy. Never will.
If they would have done it right, Jason, if they, with David, would have told them, it's all David's fault, you see. David should have known he was the king. Listen, he was the one in charge. Listen, David should have told them how it was supposed to be done. But he failed to do that, and Uzzah lost his life. The Bible says that the oxen stumbled. Boys, they were on flat ground. Listen, if it would have been carried on the shoulders of the Levites the way God told them to, it would have never stumbled. Uzzah would have never tried to help God out, and that man would have been alive a lot longer than what he was.
That's exactly right too, buddy.
You want the blessings of God in your life? Then you make sure you do it God's way. It
has to be done that way.
The only way God bless is when things are done the way God
has to be.
Wants it to be done. Be careful. There is danger in familiar things.
Amen. Let's stand tonight. Good solid word, Brother Darrell. Amen. Good word tonight.